Have you come to the point in your life where doing that work, church, home, repeat just isn't working for you anymore? And you know there's got to be more to life than this. Then girl, you've come to the right place. I'm Kimberly Knight, and this is the Position Podcast. As a certified coach, consultant, author, and speaker, I've had the privilege of helping women to position themselves for success in life, love, and business. So if you're ready for some wisdom wrapped up in a little bit of girlfriend, join me and other experts each week as we give you the conversation coaching and keys you need to take you to your next steps. Welcome, Pastor Amos Johnson from Church for Entrepreneurs. I'm so glad to have you with us today.
Love to be here. Thanks, Kimberly.
Thank you. Now, I happen to know that you are a computer science professor at Morehouse and also the pastor of Church for Entrepreneurs in Atlanta. So tell us a little bit about that.
So Church for Entrepreneurs in Atlanta has a mission to help people tap into what we call their unique anointing. And their unique anointing is the design to create something. So that's why we use the word entrepreneur. So we use entrepreneur in the creative sense, not just in the business sense. You know, if you think about God in the book of Genesis, the first thing you see God doing is creating stuff. And then the first thing he gives to Adam and Eve is to continue creation. So I think embedded in our spiritual DNA is something that God wants us to create. And so our church has a missional focus on helping people develop their anointings to create the things that God's placed in their heart.
Nice, nice. So I have actually followed you for several years and had the opportunity to listen to your podcast on a regular basis, and that's been a blessing. And I know that it is near and dear to your heart, not just the entrepreneurial and the creative calling, but also to help marriages, kingdom marriages, and singles with their unique calling. So tell us a little bit about that, because I know that as entrepreneurs, as creative people, we can be a little different. And sometimes it's intimidating sharing that special calling with people, even if that calling is being shared with a spouse.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
So marriage is literally, you know, one of the biggest blessings in your life. And it also could be a curse in your life if your marriage is unhealthy. In the Bible, God talks about for husbands that if you're not treating your wife correctly, your prayers won't be answered.
That's right.
So as entrepreneurs, what we need to be successful is God hearing our prayers and God communicating with us. That's what prayer is. So what God is literally saying in the Bible, if your marriage is unhealthy, if you're treating your spouse harshly, I'm not even communicating with you. So if God's not communicating with you, there's no way you can be successful with your calling with God's help because your marriage is in disarray. Jesus talks about this idea in the book of Matthew, I believe, where everybody's not mature enough to live a married life.
Wow.
Right. And so it's almost like I tell people, like, Jesus put a big warning label on marriage. Like, be careful what you're about to get into because everybody's not mature enough to live a married life. And there's a level of maturity that's required to live a married life. And as it gets into entrepreneurship, one thing Paul said in Corinthians is that the person that's single can spend all their time on how to serve God. And serving God means in your entrepreneur calling. But the person that's married, male or female, they have to divide their time between what God is asking them to do and what their spouse is asking them to do. So it's almost like God puts your spouse requests on the same level as his requests. And so as entrepreneurs, what's hard for us, it's like a lot of us like to just bury our heads down and go hard at our calling. And we will say, okay, our spouse will be okay. Or just give me another year, I can get this off the ground, and then I can come back to the marriage or come back to the family. But what God is saying through Paul is that, no, no, if you are married, your time has to be divided between the entrepreneurial calling and the calling of marriage. And so what that looks like is that you can't spend all your time thinking about your calling. You have to split your time thinking about your calling and thinking about your spouse. And a lot of entrepreneurs find that hard to do because they want to be single-minded and single focus. And then I tell single people is that, look, you don't have to get married. You know, Jesus didn't get married. Paul didn't get married, right? And the reason they didn't get married was they knew that what their assignment called them to do, taking a spouse alone, that assignment wouldn't be helpful. So marriage is not like something every believer has to do. You can choose not to.
Ooh, this is some heavy stuff. You came out hot today. I am loving this. So you know, I can so identify with that because I was single for 15 years before I met my husband, and I was focused. I was doing this mm-hmm. and that and writing a book and raising children and ministering and building the business. And then when I got married, I said, oh, shoot, he's going to require some attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's this pull when you come into the marriage relationship and you're creative, because there's also this like false sense of guilt. Like, am I doing enough for God? Am I doing enough for the husband? And, you know, trying to balance that. How do you balance that in a healthy way and make sure that you're still honoring God, right? Because he's still first.
Yeah. I think the first thing in terms of balancing is just a mind shift around time. Because most entrepreneurs, the first thing they'll say, if I just had more time, I'll be successful. And so they got to stop thinking about time as their catalyst for success. So what's going to make you successful is the anointing that God's placed on you, not the time that you put into a thing. And so the reason they neglect their spouses because they feel like they got to put the time into it. It's almost like time is pushing them to spend long hours. Time is pushing them saying, if you don't do enough right now, you won't be successful. So if they can break that myth that time is a reason for success, and go back to the concept that, no, the reason for success is God's anointing on you, it makes it easier for them to actually do that balance. Because now when you're with your spouse, you're not worried that your business is falling apart because you're not, quote unquote, putting the time into it. And so there's a relaxation that comes in realizing that it's God that makes you successful, not the time. And you get that revelation, it makes it easier to balance. You still gonna have to work at it because you're going to have that pull. You'll be on social media and everybody's talking about success requires no sleep or all kind of hustle culture we got in the entrepreneurship space. But there's a lot of successful, especially men, who they've gained the whole world in some sense, but they lost their marriage in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And they've basically elevated their entrepreneurial success over their marital success. And God wants both of them to rise at the same time. It's not one or the other. He wants both to work. So we have to trust in God that this is important in terms of our marriage. And when we don't do that, we basically saying we know better than God. So God, I know you said we should spend time with our spouse. I know you said we should think about a spouse, but you don't understand entrepreneurship. I have a right now, I have this window of time. If I don't get this thing done right now, God, you don't understand. People tell me that you got to work 80 hours a week right now. I grew up in Atlanta in this rap group called Outkast. They have this saying, work now, play later, right? And so it's almost like, but the later never comes. You're always working, right? That's like the myth. It's always the next project. So you want to spend time with your spouse and spend time with your calling right now at the same time.
Wow. So if you're the spouse and not the creative, not the entrepreneur,
yeah,
how do you share that need, you know, I'm not getting enough of your time or attention without being a nag or without being seen as unsupportive?
The non-entrepreneurial spouse is going to have to remind their spouse they need attention and time. Even if it becomes nagging, you got to keep reminding the other person that, hey, I'm here. I need you. Because really what happens is when it gets out of whack, when entrepreneur calling takes too much precedence, it feels like you're having an affair to the other spouse.
Wow.
Right? Because you're not giving the other spouse a time, attention. They don't feel like their value is above this thing you're constantly doing. So if you're the other spouse, your feelings are valid. You know, if they're not giving you time and attention, that's not right. So the other spouse, you need to be able to keep communicating that to them until they get it. And it may require some marital counseling. It may require you talk to your pastors about this. But if you don't keep bringing this up to them, the entrepreneurial spouse is going to forget about it because they're not even thinking about it. Remember, all they're thinking about is business, right? If you don't say something, they don't know that you're unhappy. They'll just assume everything's okay. So you ask the non-entrepreneurial spouse, if you're not happy and you see some things going wrong, you should definitely keep speaking about that until you see change.
You know, that is so powerful because I think that a lot of times we don't share because we don't want to be seen as unsupportive or we don't want to come in between what you say God is calling you to do.
Yeah.
So for those who are not entrepreneurial, I've always been an entrepreneur. So I'm trying to get into that head with someone who has not been entrepreneurial. I can imagine that it can be off-putting because on the one hand, I'm saying, you know, God has called me to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be the person who's standing in the way of what God is asking you to do.
Yeah.
On the other hand, though, I'm thinking about this from the singles point of view who do want to get married. They're desirous of marriage. They have either a unique call, calls to ministry. And it's funny when you said that about almost like it becomes a mistress or an adulterous affair. I've heard that about ministry for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, as singles, when they are looking for a mate, when they're desirous of being married, how do they share their call? How do they make sure that this person is not just right for them? Because it's one thing to be right for me as a person. It's another thing to be able to handle my calling and my creativity. How do singles begin to think about that and look at that?
That's a good question. You may not know, because sometimes you don't know if you can handle a thing till you do a thing. So some of this will just rely on you just hearing the voice of God, that in your dating process, you really want to be tapped into the Holy Spirit and see if the Holy Spirit's really kind of telling you, like, this is the person he wants you to connect with. Because truthfully, when you marry an entrepreneur, they don't even know what they're doing yet either, right? So there's nothing they can actually really tell you other than, hey, I believe God's giving me this vision. I'm doing something. It's going to be so many pivots. And if you're the non-entrepreneurial spouse, I will say, don't be surprised when he or she pivots. Because in the employee mindset, you're looking for consistency. You're looking for things to kind of be along this linear path. But entrepreneurship is very up and down. It's a lot of corners, a lot of turns. And so if you're the non-entrepreneurial spouse, don't see that as failure or I thought we were doing this and now we're doing something else. If you get into the entrepreneurial mindset, entrepreneurs, we can switch on a dime, right? We just switch. Like God shows something, we go on, we switch, we change. But the other spouse may be thinking like, wait a minute. You know, I thought we were doing this. Well, no, we're doing this now. So if you're dating somebody who is an entrepreneur, see if they have any other relationships in their life. If they have no friends, they have no relationships, they don't have a lot of work to do to be married. So like if I look back, because like one thing my wife gets on me about saying, Amos, you have no friends. You know, it's like all you do is this stuff. Who do you go play golf with? And like, I just don't do those things. I'm so focused on these things. So if you're dating somebody and they literally have no friends, they have no social life, they're going to have to do some work to have a social life with you too. And so unless you're willing to kind of do the work with them, that's a red flag. Another thing, if you're single, and we're talking about Christian singles, you want to date somebody who has the ability to hear God and who value scripture.
That's so good.
Because what God will do is God will check the entrepreneur if the entrepreneur will listen. There was times when God told me just stop everything, just spend time with your wife.
Same.
If the entrepreneur is not hearing God, they're not going to pick up on those cues when God is telling him or telling her to do something different. So in the dating process, you're thinking yourself, okay, does this man or this woman hear God? And if you're the wife and you're trying to marry a Christian husband, can this person lead me? Mm. You know, because the Bible talks about the husband is leader in everything when they're married. You know, can I see myself being under this man's leadership? So if you look at his house, it's messy, his car is messy, his thoughts are jumbled. Like, do you want him to lead you like that? And just be honest with yourself. Do you want to live like this? Because you guys be honest with yourself. Look at their life. Look how they're living. Is this something you want to be a part of? And that's if you have the luxury of them actually doing entrepreneurship right now when you met them, because they may not know their entrepreneurship. They may have a job right now and they may not discover the entrepreneur calling until like 3 years into marriage. Right. So this is why it's really Holy Spirit got to lead this whole process.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how people do it without him. Like, how do you function? I know for myself and my husband, I'm listening to you in April. And I know for myself and my husband, a lot of times God will just say, just be quiet. Just stop. Don't say another word. I'll take care of this. You pray. Fix your attitude, right? He's on me about my attitude. Fix your face and shut your mouth. I will talk to him. Mm-hmm. And he'll come back and he'll say, you know, I was praying and XYZ, God, did he really? Wow. You know, and yeah. I'm in awe of what God does. But again, you said something really powerful. You both have to have that base, right? That has to be your authority in your life. Mm-hmm. So if hearing God and then not just hearing him, but obeying him is not the base of both of your lives, then you need to look at whether or not this is a person you even need to date. I won't even talk about marrying. Do you even need to be in relationship with this person at all? Because when it comes to being led or leading, I want to know that we're both hearing from God, because that self same spirit should be speaking the same thing to us, right? If we're really submitted to that voice. That was really powerful, Pastor.
Amen.
What other tips do you have for our singles who are creative?
Singles who are creative, ask yourself, do you want somebody else who's creative also? Because you may or may not want that. Because like in the world of physics, two magnets of the same pole will repel each other, right? You may want somebody who's not an entrepreneur. Somebody who's not an entrepreneur does provide a level of balance to the marriage. Just like a male is different than a female's body parts, they're different, but they complement each other nicely. Sometimes marrying another entrepreneur may not be the best thing for you. You may need somebody who's more stable, who's more balanced, who's more grounded, who can kind of round out your edges. I used to listen to this rap group called EPMD when I was younger. It was so funny to me. I used to love their sound, but when they went solo, I hated them in solo because they both went too far in their own styles. But them together, they had a good sound. They had a good style. But when they broke up, they all did their own thing and it just didn't sound as good. And so that's how marriage is, right? You're marrying somebody because they are different. You're marrying somebody because they are going to make you better in some areas and you're going to make them better in some areas. So you're not looking for somebody who's a clone of you per se, but you're looking for somebody who literally can hear God, who can choose to love you, who can follow the scriptures. Right now in our culture, if you just say we're not having sex, that might be enough to cancel about 90% of people.
I got a testimony.
Right. Those are the big things. And I think as singles, ask yourself, do you really want to be married? Be honest with yourself. Do you really want to be married? And if you don't, that's okay. That's okay. You don't have to be. But if you do want to get married, you got to be ready to understand that love means service. Love is a choice.
So good.
It's a choice to serve the other person. And so that's why in Corinthians, Paul talks about you got to serve your spouse. And it doesn't mean you serve your spouse because you understand what they want. You serve your spouse because that's what they ask for. And I tell people, you got to be willing to take your spouse desires as if it was thus says the Lord.
Wow.
So if your spouse comes to you and say they want this, this, and this, it's almost like God saying, I want this and this and this. So that's the level of seriousness we have to take our spouse's desires. And so if you're single, you say, man, I don't really want to do that. Then just don't get married, because you really are going to have to literally separate your time. You're going to lose yourself in the marriage. You know, you can't go into marriage saying, I'm going to keep my individual identity, because once two people get married, you guys merge together and who you used to be, you'll never get back ever again. And so as single believers, you know, marriage is such a big thing. That's why Jesus said everybody's not mature enough to live a married life. So it's really not for everybody. You know, so I think sometimes we preach marriage like this is for everybody, but it's really not. You know, some people just literally should not get married. They don't have the right skill sets. They don't have the right humility. They don't have the right temperament for this. They're too violent. Me and my wife talk about this with football players, right? Football players are trained to be violent. They're trained to be aggressive. And then all of a sudden, we expect them to turn that off in other areas. But we train them all their lives to be aggressive. And then we get surprised when they have domestic abuse issues, because that's what we train them to be. We train them to hit people. We train them to be violent. And so some people, you're trained to be a warrior, right? Maybe you should not get married. Are you going to be gentle enough to be married? Those types of questions.
Ooh, I said you started hot and you are wrapping us up hot. Sir, I tell you that right there, even that last piece. Oh my gosh, we're going to have to do another show, Pastor Amos. I absolutely love all the things that you're sharing with us and giving us all this food for thought. Marriage is not for the faint. Mm-mm. It is not for the faint at heart. And you better hear God clearly. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Yep. Amen.
You better hear him clearly and be ready. Be ready to sacrifice. Be ready to merge and become truly one, which means, as you said, we're really looking at each other and becoming one with that person, still trying to fulfill our unique call, but also having to become one flesh. It's a lot.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a lot. I never thought about it that way. That really was very interesting. Thank you so much for sharing with us. And any last words before we wrap up?
I guess only last word, you know, we were talking about entrepreneurship and marriage. I want you to see marriage as a blessing, but if you do it wrong, it will stop your calling. 100% stop your calling. So if you're struggling in your marriage and you're wondering why your business is not working, or your call's not working, it's probably because of your marriage.
Wow.
Take it that serious. So when I have counseling sessions with people and their business is not working, I ask them about their marriage. how's your marriage going? And most of the time, the marriage is in shambles. And like your marriage is in shambles, God's not even talking to you. That's why you don't know what to do next. That's why you feel like you're lost, because the most important relationship in your life is broken.
Wow. Thank you so much. The final words of wisdom. We appreciate you, Pastor Amos. I will definitely make sure that your contact information is in our show notes. And we're going to be looking forward to hearing from you again.
All right. Amen. Thanks for inviting me, Kimberly.
Thank you. That's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Be sure to subscribe to the show wherever you're listening so you never miss one. I would love it if you would share the podcast with your friends, post about it on Facebook and Instagram, or leave a review. That way, you can help me to bring you more great content and expert guests. Until next week, be blessed.